Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Along the lines of the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Christianity in some principles of Christianity found in the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18 is where we'll start. But let's pray, and then we'll read a little bit, and I'll give you a few thoughts on these verses here. Father, thank you for this time together. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. If he wasn't born, he would have never obviously died and resurrected from the dead. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray if anybody here is lost, they'd understand their sin. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, why he did what he did, and why it's such a gift from God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to get together this evening. And I pray that you would help me say what you like said through your words and out of your words. And you'd help us just think about and magnify Jesus Christ this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." There's a few things that stick out in these first part of Matthew here, the birth of Jesus Christ. And just give you a little context to it. This was complicated for Joseph to hear about his wife being pregnant and knowing nothing's gone on between them. But that gets settled fairly quickly in all this. Then the traveling, having to travel while Mary's pregnant and go back to Bethlehem and pay just to pay taxes, to be a part of the census there, pay taxes. But in these few verses, there's four things that really stick out in my mind about Christianity and some principles about Christianity as a whole. The first thing I want you to notice about Jesus Christ and then how it applies to you and me, verse 18 says, "The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So Jesus Christ, and it's something that people argued about for a long time and probably still argue about. Does he have the nature of two natures and all of that? In this verse, you understand that Jesus Christ, he has a body that is formed in Mary's womb, but that body was created by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is how Jesus Christ, he will live out because he has the nature of God the Father in him. He has the nature of God the Father. It reminds me of what John says in 1 John. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, Jesus Christ is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the nature of God resides in Jesus Christ, resides in this body. And it's incredible to think that the nature of Almighty God, the Father, the Creator, the divine, holy, all of that is wrapped up in flesh and blood. Incredible to think that. And incredible to think about how, you know, I don't know how the infant life of Jesus Christ went. I can imagine, you know, there was probably diaper changes that had to be done and things like that. But trying to wrap your mind around all of that divinity just wrapped up in this body. And that makes me think about something in Christianity. You know, and people argued about that. I don't know, you know, about does he have two natures, the nature of Adam, nature of God. He has the nature of God the Father is what he has. And he has a body. He has a flesh and blood body like you and I have, because we need that. That's what we need. We need a replacement. We need a mediator. We need someone that stands in our place as a man. And I think about this when jump ahead to the resurrection after the cross, the resurrection, and Jesus Christ sends up into heaven, and up until that point, and I know I've said this before, but maybe for the sake of some who haven't heard this, up until that point, the throne room of God is surrounded by angelic hosts, by creatures. I mean, these is surrounded by all of these wonderful things. But the thing that's missing of all of God's creation is a man. There's no man that stands before God the Father until Jesus Christ. And after Jesus Christ, he dies on the cross, he's buried, he raises again, and then he ascends up into heaven before God the Father, and he is a mediator. And Paul would call him, he's the second Adam. He's a man that represents all of mankind before God the Father. So you know what Jesus Christ says? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Meaning that this is all the blessings of God, all of the representation of man it's wrapped up in the body of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so that said, I know we jumped ahead a little bit with that, but that said, you go back to his birth and you realize all of God's divine attributes are put into this body. And Jesus Christ would live out at 12 years old. He's in the temple. He's asking questions. And at 12 years old, he understands the purpose of his life. And he's in the temple and he's asking questions and he's teaching some of these scholars that are in Jerusalem in the temple. And they're fascinated by this young man. And all of that to say, he understands from a very early age, because he has the nature of God Almighty, of the Father, of divinity is wrapped up in this flesh and blood, he understands fully his purpose. Now, you say, well, how does that relate to you and me? I mean, maybe it doesn't relate to you, but if you're a Christian, it does relate to you. If you're a saved soul, you have trusted Jesus Christ, and trust Jesus Christ, you've come to the understanding, I am a sinner before God, I need a Savior, Jesus Christ died for my sins, rose again, He is eternal life, He is my all of my life, all of my future is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You come to that understanding. Well, here's what Peter says about divinity wrapped up in a body. Let me tell you how it applies to you and me. Look in 2 Peter real quick. This is what Peter says about it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, this is what Peter wrote as a letter. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby," watch this, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these," by what? "By these exceeding great and precious promises, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You know what a Christian is? A Christian is someone that is a partaker of the divine nature, just wrapped up in flesh and blood. That you would experience and have a knowledge of God, and that's something that goes all the way through the Bible. That understanding, or have that knowledge of God, the Lord would bemoan and lament through the prophets, throughout the Old Testament, and say, "You know what? I have tried to give light to the nation of Israel. I've tried to give light to Judah. I've tried to give light to them, but they won't have it." And what's the problem? They have, he says, they have no knowledge of God. There's no knowledge of God in these people. What is the knowledge of God? It's experience. It's partaking of a divine nature. The goodness of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the long-suffering, the joy, the love, all of those things, kindness, goodness, those things. That is God's nature. And all of that's wrapped up in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ and by the promises of God, the exceeding precious promises of God. A Christian is a partaker of God's divine nature that way. And you live out that is eternal life. That is what it looks like in action. It is put into this body. And you struggle with what the body wants and what the body craves and desires and all those things. Yet there is this light. There is direction. There's guidance. And every time there's that flesh that says, "I want this," that light in there, that direction from God Almighty, that divine nature says, "No, that's not good. That's what got us in trouble in the first place." Divine nature, back over in Matthew. So Jesus Christ, He doesn't have Adam's nature. He has a body. He is a man, but He has the nature of God Almighty. Number two, back over in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 19. When Mary is found to be pregnant, and Joseph knows it's not his, he does what probably anyone would. I mean, it's just the natural course of thought. Okay, well, something's gone on here, and you know, I guess she's got something else going on with somebody else. And so, but his response, it's incredible. I when I read about people that God uses in the Bible, and the record of who He uses, folks are prepared people. They are people that are good, they're kind, things like that. They mourn with the Lord and the things He mourns about. All of that said, but in 19, Joseph, he understands Mary's pregnant, and the Bible says he, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Second thing I want you to notice, and it really is a practice of Christians, and it should be a practice of Christians. Joseph is a merciful soul. Not that Mary's done anything wrong, but that's all. He doesn't know what's happened yet. He doesn't have all the information, and maybe there's probably a lesson in there. Sometimes the Lord does things with people that you don't have all the information about. And maybe before you make a judgment, you might want to just not make a judgment. And so not to say that you never make judgments, but I'm saying sometimes you're eager to get the gossip out before you know what's happening. You want to tell somebody, and then you find out, well, that's not really what's going on. Well, Joseph isn't like that. He doesn't want to gossip about Mary. He doesn't want to make Mary an example to everybody. So he seeks within himself some way to do this discreetly. How do I kind of just break this relationship off discreetly? Now it's going to be revealed what's actually going on in a minute. But before that, his response is perfect. And the description of Joseph being a just man, it's just, it means right. I used to think this, and maybe you did too, that, you say things like this, and I know I would, where you'd say something like, and I would say something like, I don't want God's justice, I want God's mercy. You ever heard that? I don't want his justice, I want his mercy. As though those things were opposite things. I don't want him to be just. I don't want him put it this way. I don't want him to give me what I deserve. I want him to be merciful to me. And that idea equated with justice. You know, we just want God to be merciful, not to give people what they deserve. Things like that. That all said, I when I read about, again, over in John, where he says that just is just the right, it's the right response. It's the correct response to the situation. For instance, in John, he says this in 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just to do what? Forgive. So justice in that situation is forgiveness. That's the right response. When someone is repentant, when someone it wants to make the thing right, well, the right response is, okay, let's make this right. Let's fix this. That's the right response. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Joseph is this gentle man. He's kind. He is good natured, he's good-hearted, he wants to, given the limited information he has about what's going on with Mary and the baby, he thinks something else is going on, probably someone else, he thinks. So instead of being mad, instead of gossiping, maybe there was some anger, I'm sure there was, but that's not what directed his decisions. He seeks out a way to sort of discreetly and privately kind of put the marriage off and kind of make the relationship go away. And so he's a merciful soul. He's a gentle man. And even when he's hurt, he responds right. Can you imagine if that's all the information you have is what Joseph has? My fiance's pregnant. That's all I know. My fiance is pregnant, I'm not the dad. That's all I know. And with that information, Joseph responds in a way, even though he's hurt, he responds in a right way, a good way. It's no wonder God uses the people he uses. People who are prepared, people who have a kind heart like Joseph. And you'll find Mary's very similar. I mean, she is just as interested in the things of God. I mean, she's an incredible lady. And so Joseph is a merciful soul. And it is exactly the way that a Christian, someone who claims to be a child of God, or calls God their God, or calls Jesus Christ their God, that this is the response. This is the way a person should behave. Mercifulness, just mercy, gentleness, kindness, not gossip. Look, I mean, if If you were hurt in the way that Joseph was hurt, your response, like, just think about it within your own life. Your response might be the first thing you would be, I'm going to talk bad about this person because they have ruined my life. I'm going to make sure that the people that I know that this person is a bad person. And that somehow makes us feel better. It makes us feel like we're accomplishing, we're getting something off our chest, and all we're doing is just spreading dirt everywhere, spreading trash everywhere. No, not Joseph. He's hurt, yet he's kind. He's mad, yet he's controlled. He's frustrated about this whole relationship, but he's not going to let that drive his decisions. And he's going to be rewarded because he's going to find out what's actually going on now. He doesn't ruin the situation by destroying Mary's life and testimony before people. He does exactly what needs to be done, and in time, what's revealed to him, he understands what's going on then. So Joseph is a merciful soul. Then the third thing that goes on here, verses really 20 to 23, the Lord's going to explain what's happened. And what clears really everything up, when the Lord explains what is going on with Mary and reveals who Jesus Christ, who this child is, when the Lord reveals who this child is, it clears up everything. And he does this with the scriptures. He says, this is the scripture. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's Isaiah 7:14. But the answer to Joseph's dilemma, the answer to the problems, potential problems in this family, the answer to Joseph's dilemma is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So here's what's said. While he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. You know what the solution was in this case? The solution was the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, this is what's going on. This is who is inside of Mary. It is the Lord. It is God with us. It's Emmanuel. It is his name will be Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is the answer. It's the answer to this situation. While Joseph pursues mercy, the Lord responds with revelation. I can't help but think of later on in Matthew, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's Joseph's attitude. And he gets revelation, and he gets revelation in the scriptures. The Lord points to Isaiah 7, which was talked about 700 years before this event. But Jesus Christ, a revelation of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, there is some of you can relate to this in this. There's so many probably different circumstances where this occurred, but you've gone through something and you're either in it or you've come out of it. And through that trouble, through that turmoil, what became really clear is a little bit clearer understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And when you got that understanding of revelation, of who Jesus Christ is, of who this person is here. That answered some questions. It made some things clear that weren't clear before. Just like in Joseph's life, when the Lord explains to him who that is, that answers the whole thing. And I think of this in we went through the book of Job a while back. Job has a lot of bad stuff that happens to him. Just unrelatably bad, terrible stuff. And when you read through that book, when Job loses 10 children in a day, and Job, he has lost his business, he's lost everything, he's lost his health, and his wife is saying, you know, curse God and die, and that's the temptation to curse God. I'm just going to curse God, but he doesn't do that. And when you get to the end of that book, there's never really an explanation to Job about what happened. There's not an explanation. But what there is at the end of the book of Job is a revelation of the Lord. Remember, the Lord just asked him a bunch of questions. And he says, answer me this. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Give me some information. You tell me, who was it that stretched out the measuring tape for the earth? Who was it that said, this is the boundary of the sea? Who and Job is barraged with these questions. And through these questions, what he comes to realize is who he's dealing with, who the Lord is. And when he realizes that's all he needs to know. If I realize the Lord, he is far beyond what my imagination can think. He's far beyond. I can't pin him down. I can't put him in a box. If I know who I'm dealing with, that settles it. That helps. That answers the questions. That's the remedy. What is the remedy? The remedy is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens here in this event here in Matthew chapter 1 with the birth of Jesus Christ. Once Joseph knows, once he knows who is involved here, once he knows this is the Lord Jesus Christ, that's okay, now that's what I need to know. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the solution. And a greater revelation of Jesus Christ, that's what we say. I mean, if you're saved here, you are living out eternal life, and your life is supposed to grow closer to Jesus Christ. You have more revelation of Jesus Christ as time goes on, as seasons of life go on, as you experience more things in life. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the solution. And then last is this. Once Joseph is told what's going on, the Bible says in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph is a faithful man. He's a good man. He's a kind man. He's faithful. Once he's given the information he needs, he does what's required of him to do. He says, all right, that's what I didn't know the whole situation. Now I know what's happening. And now, Lord, all right, what do you want me to do? Well, don't touch Mary until you're married, until she has Jesus, and just take care of this family. And he's going to be told some other things you'll see in the book of Luke. But he's a faithful man. Faithfulness. The revelation clears his mind of doubt. It gives him direction for what his attitude ought to be and how to address this. And once he's given that information, Joseph can be trusted with what he has now. Mary can be trusted too. She's just as faithful. But since we're looking at Joseph, he's a faithful man. And it's Joseph's faithfulness that protects him, his wife, baby Jesus. It's his faithfulness that does that. And faithfulness, that's what God requires in people, is faithfulness. Being faithful. Paul said it in Corinthians. He said it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You're given something now. If you've got the words of God, you've got eternal life. You're given this treasure. He says a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what do you do with that treasure? Faithfulness is the requirement to serve God with what you've been given. To not let other things sort of push their way in. You're going to serve God, serve God. There's going to be temptations where other things want to push their way in and force their way into your life. There's going to be, there's so many things. There's family stuff, there's money stuff, there's job stuff. All of these things. I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day. And they said, man, it's so hard. It's so hard to, I think it was, they were talking about going to church or something like that. It's so hard to go to church. You know, the world is just constantly and work and this and that. I mean, it was just like, you know, it's so hard. So there shouldn't be any expectation. That's kind of the vibe I was getting. It's like, it's so hard. So there shouldn't be any expectation. And so as we talked, I told him, I said, well, that's where choices come in. Because serving God has always been difficult. It's always required faithfulness. All the way back to Exodus where Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And does anybody remember why he said, let my people go? So that we can do what? Worship. Meaning the world is opposed to it. And so Moses says, let my people go so we can worship. What does Pharaoh say? No. And so we just say, okay, well, the world doesn't want us to do it. Moses said no. I mean, Pharaoh said no, and he's made it harder on us to do it. So, you know, God, you should just give up the expectation that you're going to have faithful people. And the Lord's like, no, faithfulness is required. It's required that you make decisions. It's required that sometimes you make hard decisions. It's required that a man be found faithful. You're going to be a steward of God's things, take care of God's things. I mean, you wouldn't put someone in charge of your valuable things who wasn't trustworthy. You wouldn't do, I mean, you might do it one time, but I guarantee you wouldn't do it often. You put faithful people in charge of valuable things. You put trustworthy people in charge of valuable things. So here's Joseph. Joseph can be trusted. Mary can be trusted. I mean, this event, the birth of Jesus Christ, is a once in, it's not even once in a lifetime. It's just once in forever. This is never going to happen again. And the Lord chooses Mary and Joseph. You know why he chose them? Because they're trustworthy people. He didn't just pick someone off the street. He didn't just you know what, whoever, just whoever. No, Joseph is a good man. Mary is a good lady. Mary is faithful. She's considerate of the things of the Lord. Joseph is considerate. He's faithful. And he is obedient to the things he understands. This is Christianity. This is what it looks like. This is what it's supposed to look like. These are the people that God uses. And this is all wrapped up in the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the divine nature of God. I mean, he is God manifest in the flesh. Joseph, a merciful soul, kind soul, good soul, faithful. Then that revelation of Jesus Christ, that's what solves the problem. That's what makes sense of what's happening. When I understand who Jesus Christ is, it makes sense what's going on. And then faithfulness. That faithfulness is something that's required. Joseph is a faithful man. Mary's a faithful lady. The Bible says he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a great story. It's history. It happened. Jesus Christ was really born. He really lived. He really ministered. And then he died on a cross for your sins and for my sins. He died for the sins of his people. And then he was buried, and then he rose. He came out of that grave, freely offering eternal life to whosoever will. Eternal life is a free gift. You can't. It's not for sale. You can't purchase it. You don't have enough in your bank account to purchase it. Plus, you can't buy it with money. It's a gift of God. How's it given? It's given in Jesus Christ. For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen to that. Amen to that. That said, that's some thoughts about the birth of Jesus Christ, some things surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, and thoughts about Christianity in general. And I hope it's helpful. And it's good to see all of you guys here Christmas Eve. And I'm not going to forget. I know we have a couple of specials before we go here. But I'm going to pray. And while I pray, I think, Piper, are you going to play? Emma, are you going to play? All right, you girls come on down here. And I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, you girls can play some music for us. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for examples and illustrations of what faithfulness looks like. And people who respond right when they don't have all the information. Lord, thank you for that. You're just so merciful to us and so good to us. By giving us your words, giving us light, giving us direction, giving us help. Father, I pray if anybody here is lost, I pray they'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand their sin before Holy God, and really understand why Jesus Christ came to this earth. To be a man, to live a holy life, to pay the wages of sin, which is death, and then rise from the grave, and offer eternal life to whosoever will. You want your sins forgiven, Lord, I pray they'd understand that. Understand the ministry of Jesus Christ on behalf of them. Thank you so much for this privilege and this opportunity to be here this evening. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to do two more things. Where'd they go? There they are. The girls are going to play a couple songs. And then after they're done playing, Ben's going to come up here and we're going to leave. And before we leave, sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." And then we're going, that's right, next door. That's right. All right, girls, y'all ready? Piper, you going to go first?